something with Yossi Goldie on the Busted Free Radio.
If you see something, say something. If you see something, say something. If you see something, say something.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good night. Today is a very special day. I'd like to talk to you about a very important quest that happens in all our lives. One day or another. And that is the quest of moving can be a difficult task at hand, and for some it can be a hoarder's nightmare. But I want you to know there are people who can help you. People who care. Anytime you want, you can call me today. It's 617-454-4237. There will be many operators to take your call.
What if in your tidy suburban home, your secret hoarding threatened to destroy your family?
Ever finding anything is impossible.
Melody's hoarding is so out of control, she risks eviction.
The landlord has already complained to the fire department.
Yes, it's not up to code.
Can Colleen and Alan save their marriage?
This is our last-ditch effort.
And can Melody get treatment in time, or will she be evicted?
She may end up on the streets.
Find out as we reveal the truth about her.
The truth of hoarding or being a hoarder. We are familiar with these states. I call them three states. There is the hoarder or the actor. There is the action of hoarding. And there is the end. Is that what happens at the end? That is our daily existence. And I am just explaining to you what is. But we will begin to understand how to transform what is hoarding only when we can examine it clearly, so that there is no illusion or prejudice and no bias with regards to it. Now these three states which constitute experience of hoarding, the hoarder, the hoarding, and the result are surely a process of becoming. Otherwise, there is no becoming, is there? And if there is no hoarder and there is no hoarding towards an end, there is no becoming. But life as we know it, our daily life, is a process of becoming. You can say, I am poor. And I act with an end in view, which is to become rich. I am ugly and I want to become beautiful. Therefore, my life is a process of becoming something. Something beautiful. The will to be is the will to become at different levels of consciousness in the different states, in which there is a challenge and a response, naming and recording. Now this is becoming is strife, and this becoming is pain. It is a constant struggle. I am this, I want to become that. Therefore then, the problem is there not action without this becoming? Is there not action without this pain and without this constant battle? Is there not hoarding without crying? And if there is no end, there is no actor, because action with an end in view creates the actor. But there can be action without an end in view, and therefore no actor and no hoarder. That is, without the desire for a result, such an action is not a becoming, and therefore not a strife. There is a state of hoarding and a state of experiencing, and without the experiencer and the experience, this sounds rather philosophical, but it's actually quite simple. Please, are you moving? Are you hoarding?
Well, so hoarding is a mental health issue that affects some 4 to 5 out of every 1,000 Americans, although researchers suspect that number is actually on the low side. When we think about someone having this problem, we think that in terms of four factors. One is excessive acquisition. Individuals with this problem acquire large amounts of possessions. They shop at yard sales and bring all manner of this and that home. They shop at big box stores and buy extras, so you can go into their home and find stack after stack of paper towel or toilet paper or diet sodas.
So,
and after a while, because of that compulsive acquisition, the living spaces become highly cluttered. In addition, they can often, and often do, shop on the internet and buy packages that they never really open. The second factor that we consider is that individuals with this problem have a lot of trouble discarding. And while they may save the same things we do, they have a lot more trouble getting rid of things. So once something comes into their home, it's really hard for them to get it out of their home. A second factor that suggests that maybe is the difficulty they have discarding. While people who hoard save the same things we do, they often have trouble discarding things, many times that we think are of limited value or usefulness. For example, many times you'll go into their homes and you'll see newspapers that are 3 or 4 years old, or a half-eaten donut or carrot stick, or shoes that do not have a match, or clothes they haven't worn for many, many years. The third factor that makes us suspect that someone may have this problem is cluttered living space. The living spaces over many years become highly cluttered, and the individuals cannot live and use the spaces for which they were designed. So they can't sleep on their beds, they can't eat at their dining tables, they can't use the toilets, shower or bathe in their bathrooms. And so the living spaces become really, really difficult. The
so
final
Colette,
factor has to do with the distress and impairment these individuals experience. Many times they're living in highly uncomfortable situations. If they've been hoarding for many, many years, like individuals who are in their 60s and 70s and sometimes 80s have, the homes are often very dilapidated, so they are lacking power and heat. The floorboards may sag under the weight of tons of wet newspaper. And they can be highly isolated and have very few contacts throughout the day and the week. Harm reduction is a set of practical strategies that has the goal of managing the hoarding behaviors to minimize risk and enhance comfort for the individuals in their homes so long as they continue to hoard and engage in hoarding behavior. This differs from treatment, where the focus or goal of treatment is really to stop the hoarding behaviors. In harm reduction, what we're really focusing on is managing risk, so long as the person continues to engage in the behavior. Now, when thinking about harm reduction may be useful for a number of reasons. One is that many of the individuals with this problem have low insight, meaning that they seldom actually accept help, or often refuse help, and certainly refuse treatment. And so offering treatment to them often closes the door. Another reason that harm reduction may be helpful, as opposed to treatment certainly, is that these individuals, even though they're refusing help, they are often at very, very high risk. They often are living in highly dilapidated and unsafe situations. The living spaces are so cluttered that their ability to exit their home or apartment in case of an emergency, like a fire or earthquake, is really difficult. And in fact, in some situations, even an emergency medical technician getting into the space would be very difficult.
Yes, I know.
And so they are at significant risk. And also, many times they're very uncomfortable. As I mentioned earlier, they may live without power or heat for many weeks, months, and sometimes indefinitely. Or they may try to accommodate that, and they may try to heat their space with gasoline or electric space heaters, which, among all the clutter of paper, can be highly risky. Another reason that harm reduction is worth considering is that it's not just the person with the problem who is at risk. If family members are living in that same home, they experience the same risk as the person with the problem. And in addition, communities are at risk. Many times these homes or apartments are in urban settings where if an apartment has a fire, it can affect many people within the complex or in the neighborhood. Also, these sites are prone to rat and insect infestations that affect communities, as well as odors. So it can be a community problem and have community risks as well. And the last reason that we may want to consider harm reduction is oftentimes with these individuals, over-focusing on treatment actually makes things worse.
And
when you insist on treatment for an individual who's refusing help because either they are too fearful or have low insight, they can create resentment and mistrust and actually close the door to other interventions that may be helpful.
That's very interesting. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Duncans. Thank you. In the moment of hoarding, you are not aware of yourself as the hoarder, apart from the hoarding. You are in a state of hoarding. Take a very simple example. Maybe you are angry, and in that moment of anger, there is neither the experiencer nor the experience. There is only experiencing. But the moment you come out of it, a split second after that experiencing the anger, there is the experiencer and the experience, the actor and the action with an end in view, which is to get rid of or to suppress the anger. We are in this state repeatedly in the state of experiencing, but we always come out of it and give it a turn, naming it and recording it, and thereby giving continuity to becoming. So if we can understand hoarding in the fundamental sense of the word, then that fundamental understanding will affect our superficial activities. But first, we must understand the fundamental nature of hoarding. Now, is this hoarding brought about by an idea? Do you have an idea to hoard first and act afterwards, or hoard afterwards? Or does the hoarding come first and then, because the hoarding creates the conflict, you build around it an idea of hoarding? Does hoarding create the hoarder, or does the hoarder come first? It is very important to discover which comes first. If the idea of hoarding comes first, then action of hoarding merely conforms to the idea of hoarding, and therefore it is no longer an action of hoarding, but an imitation, a compulsion according to this hoarding idea. It is very important to realize this, because as our society is mostly constructed on intellectual or verbal levels, the idea comes first with all of us and the action follows, or the hoarding. Action is the handmaid of an idea, and the mere construction of ideas is obviously detrimental to the action. Ideas breed further ideas, and when there is merely the breeding of ideas, there is antagonism, and society becomes top-heavy with its intellectual process of ideation. Our social structure is very intellectual, and we are cultivating the intellect at the expense of every other factor of our beginning, and therefore we are suffocated with hoarding. Please, are you a hoarder? Or is someone you love hoarding? Maybe they're hoarding and you want to help. Maybe you just need tips on how to downsize your home, and that will end your hoarding problem. Let us talk to these professionals.
So Colette, let's say you've got a giant house like this, 3,500, 4,000 square feet.
Or maybe we'll tell them to leave and we'll take this call. Hello, caller.
Yassi, are you there?
Yes, yes. Are you, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, but I'm so tired because I just moved my apartment. I don't think I'm a hoarder, but I had to get rid of a lot of stuff.
That is very good that you admit to getting rid of the stuff and that you went through the process of ridding the stuff.
I feel better because I went through paper by paper by paper, and yes. I got rid of a lot of it, but I kept the important things.
Yes.
But I have one problem that I think maybe you can help me.
Yes, what is that?
My cat Gucci will only stay underneath the blankets of my bed ever since I moved, and I don't know how to get him out.
I see. Have you tried feeding the cat hot dogs to coax them out?
Oh, the hot dogs!
Yes.
Right. I'm so silly. Yeah, okay, I have not tried to feed him hot dogs yet, and also, my closet is huge. It's like a palace for the cat.
Yes.
So I should just throw the hot dogs in there.
Yes, you can have a walk-in closet cat.
Okay.
And Gucci will be so happy in the closet. I think Gucci is experiencing anxiety because they are not used to the smell of the new house. But at least they are in a safe haven. And maybe you can throw the blanket in the closet as well and let Gucci get used to the space and smell.
I can't believe I forgot about the hot dogs.
Yes.
So right.
Yes.
And he only comes out at 3 in the morning. He'll come out and he'll smell everything.
Yes.
But besides that, he's just hiding. So I think I'll just put the blanket in the closet, and probably tonight when I go to Stop and Shoppy, I will get some hot dogs for him.
Yes, yes. And leave them all around the house and he'll realize that they're home. But unless you just want Gucci in the closet, then put all the hot dogs in the closet.
Well, when I get him out eating a hot dog, I'll make sure to send you a picture once he shows his face,
yes,
okay?
Yes, that would be amazing. I cannot wait to see it.
Oh, thank you, Yassi. And I will tell you, I have a very beautiful portrait of you, and it was the last thing to leave my old apartment and the first thing to go up in my new apartment. I love you so much.
Thank you very much. I love you too, and be golden and stay golden forever.
Golden forever. I'll send you the hot dog picture soon. Thank you for your help.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye, Yassi.
Mataban. That was amazing. I am so glad that they have gotten their addiction of hoarding and throw away all those papers. And now they're just going to go buy some hot dogs for their cat. And the day will be saved. Do you have a hoarding addiction? Are you experiencing moving? Maybe you do not know how to shrink down your organizations or coax your cat out of your bed. You can call me. My number is 617-454-4237. Let us get some quick tips on how to downsize for when we're moving to a smaller cell.
You're moving into a condo that's maybe 800, 1,000, 1,200 square feet, a third of your living space. where do you start?
Well, that's a fraction of the living space, so for that we really need a good plan.
So as a professional organizer, Colette, you would come into someone's house and you'd basically go through their cupboards and tell them what to get rid of and what to keep, right?
Certainly, and that's after a discussion of what their lifestyle is going to look
right.
like. Sometimes some people are looking to say, I'm going to have lunch out every day. But more often than not, they're not needing multiples of appliances, and you've got a good example here.
Yes.
You've got a small appliance and a big one. Both do the same thing. And maybe when we move to our next place, we're not even going to bake anymore. We're going to be grabbing our muffin out on a daily basis. But for all of this stuff, it's a lot of room. It's a lot of space that you can save to use for more your day-to-day items and not the sometimes maybe items that you're probably not doing, like breaking bread once a year for Christmas or for those friends.
Yes.
So you can see how much room this is actually taking. And how much room we can let go there.
I know I have like 10 curling irons, and I think I only need 2.
Tables, essentially. This one is gigantic. Mm-hmm. You probably wouldn't be able to fit this into most condos.
No, this is not something that's going to fit, so we're going to look for some alternative seating for when they're entertaining and when they're dining every day. What would be the most practical?
If you have nice pieces like this, or like this antique chest, these antique dishes over there, what do you do with them?
Yes.
Well, first, it's good to look to friends and family if there are pieces to give away to keep in the family. So we start here. We start creating a list of what's really precious to us, what would like to stay in the family, what could be sold, and what really might have some value to some other people. So I try to extract in that list what are more on the antique value, what might be down in sort of the middle of the road. And there are lots of resources out there of antique dealers that deal in specialty goods that'd be more interested in the table, some that might be more interested in the china, and some people that are interested in different things. There's estate sales. Often I suggest that to my clients that they can have an indoor yard sale and just have some friends and family over and take a peek at things they might want to.
Yes, and sometimes I suggest just throw it out on the curb and someone will get it. We have another caller. Hello, caller.
Yes, hello, Yossi.
Yes, caller, how are you today?
What are you talking about today?
Yes, we're talking about moving and if you're a hoarder, how to strike it rich.
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking about today. I was just wondering if anyone has ever thought about why people move at all. Why can't other people just stay put?
Yes, it's true.
Why can't we all just stay put?
Yes, well, you know, sometimes people move on up in the world, like the Jeffersons. They get a better job, and maybe their house is too big, and they want to have a bigger house. And sometimes, maybe the government has taken the house away from you because they gave you a bad loan, and you have to move into your car and downsize. But it's true, why can't we all live on duck boats and just drive our house around? Or maybe a motorhome or a boat.
Yeah, people used to also live in villages and just lived in villages their whole lives and lived next door to their aunts and uncles, and there was a small tight-knit circle of people that people knew their whole lives, and that kind of small intimacy is gone in modern life. We're moving here, and then 2 years later, let's move somewhere else, and 5 years later, let's move clear across the country. Why don't we? So where are the human connections? What's happening to that?
It's true. Maybe they're just expanding and realizing that the world is actually a small place, and moving to the other side of the country is like moving across the street. If only our transportation systems were faster and more reliable, it would be like we wouldn't even have to move at all.
Right, and the way technology is moving so quickly, it might be that we just are teleporting from one place to another fairly soon.
Yes, I have teleported before.
Oh, have you?
Yes, but I forget I'm not allowed to talk about it.
That's a shame, because I'd like to hear more about it.
Yes. I'm sure you would.
You sure you don't want to talk about it?
No, I can't.
You should talk about it. Talk through it, Yafe. We're all here to listen.
Yes. I wasn't even supposed to say that.
Oh, are you saying that it's classified information or something that you're sworn to secrecy about?
Yes. We shouldn't even be talking about it.
Well, I'm just interested as to how someone could teleport.
Yes, there are many different ways you can teleport, and I had a previous discussion, and it was about interdimensional travel, and that is a way anyone can channel their teleportation devices located inside their mind.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite shows of yours. I remember that.
Yes.
You had that crazy woman call and say that she was above the ceiling and then below the floor. Yeah, I remember that.
She was bouncing all over the walls, yes. Yes, there are many steps, but there are also machines like the Star Trek, but I am not allowed to say anything else about that. I shouldn't have.
Oh, well, you can just, to get that effect, you can just pour some glitter into water, into like a little tube of water, and stir it up, and you get the effect of the teleport machine.
Oh, yes, it's like a golden glitter milkshake.
Yeah, so if you do that, and maybe take some film of that effect, play it back over a picture yourself. You can do something really crazy with it, you know what I mean?
Yes. Sometimes I dress up just like Spock and shake myself up in some glitter to say that I teleported.
That's not teleporting, though.
No, yeah. I mean, yes, I've never teleported before. Only interdimensional travel.
Okay, well, that's something else. I think everybody and their grandmother has done some interdimensional travel, you know. But teleporting is something else. If you actually teleported, that would be something to call the newspapers about, you know.
Yeah, if we teleported, I think it's interesting that our architecture of our buildings would change because we would not need doors anymore.
No, and then we could also like have doors leading to nowhere.
Yeah.
Because maybe, you know, just to throw people off or give people a little cheap thrill in the middle of their humdrum day.
Yeah.
Up on the 45th floor, they could have a door leading to the outside, and then you fall. But they put like a teleport machine like halfway down the fall, so that somebody falling will be, they'll get like, oh God, I'm gonna die. Here I am hurling, and they get teleported. Sorry, they teleport to like a beautiful resort island or something. So, and then they can really appreciate the island experience a little more, because they might even think that if they believe in the afterlife, they might think that they're in heaven or something.
Yes, they should do that for a lot of people on this world, and we wouldn't have problems anymore.
I know. Yeah. It's ideally in an ideal world, all this stuff would happen, but immediately once a technology is developed, the immediate thought right away is how can we make money off of it? So as long as that is like the purveying thought on everybody's minds, then we can't do stuff that's just for fun. And people are just moving across the country back and forth, like I said, because of money, because they need to for work, or because they want a cheaper place to live.
Yes.
You know, people just don't move for fun like they might have done earlier in the in the past.
Yes, yes, and you know, if we got rid of money, there would be no such thing as poverty. And if housing was a right and not a privilege, we wouldn't have this problem with homelessness. I have done many calculations, and I realized that if there is a billionaire out there, you know, they have billions and billions of dollars, they could actually house over 300 million people, but they don't. I just don't understand why.
And we could all be like one big global village and not have to move anywhere or just teleport to go see other villages.
Yeah.
You know, that would be like an ideal society.
Yes, but there are those greedy people with the money and they're hoarding it all. You know, they can teleport. And they're covering their doors with bookshelves and stuff because they're hoarding it all. Because they want more room. But they're not going to let you know about it. Because they're greedy and they're hoarding it all.
Well, you don't necessarily have to be greedy to be a hoarder.
No,
you can just be crazy to be a hoarder.
Yes.
Also.
I think it is, you're very fearful when you're hoarding.
That's true. You really touched on something, Myra, I could say.
Yes.
If you're hoarding, it's because you're compensating for like a lack of love in your life, I think.
Yes.
So you're collecting and collecting and collecting, you know, all this material nonsense and letting it pile high until it comes crashing down and perhaps kills or injures you.
Yes, definitely. And it is a big fire hazard.
I think all hoarders are lonely people.
Yes, aren't we all just lonely people? But some of us can better compensate.
Yeah, some of us are better at being lonely, and some of us are better like social beings than others. Yeah, you can be lonely and be a good social being. But
yes.
I think hoarders are like lonely. They're terrible social beings.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe they just never had enough love in their life. So, like, they collect, I don't know, strawberry shortcake figurines or, like, the tops of cereal boxes or empty soap boxes or those big gulp canisters or maybe just the lids of big gulp canisters or the top of dish soap. You know, those little twisty things that you do to open and close the dish soap. Or maybe they collect plastic forks or possibly plastic spoons or that hybrid known as sporks.
Yes.
Or, you know, they can collect all that stuff and just let it pile high and just create piles and piles. And you have to wonder what their minds are like, if their minds work the same way, collecting all these things in their mind also, because if they immediately know if something's missing or if something's gone awry.
Yes.
Or if somebody comes in and cleans a little corner, you know, immediately that sends them into a tailspin.
Yes,
and you have
they
to
get
wonder,
into
like,
a panic.
Why?
Yes. Sometimes I have to admit I hoard gold bars.
In the prison there?
Yes. I keep them stashed under my bed.
I wouldn't be letting that fact, I wouldn't be telling that fact to too many people if I were you, Yossi.
It's okay. I can always get more.
Oh, well, all right. But, you know, gold is pretty valuable, and even in prison there, I think people will shiv you for something like that, you know?
Yes, it's true. I like to bathe instead of using the soap bars. I like to Robe my body with the gold bars.
Well, just don't drop the gold bar in the shower, you know what I mean?
Yes, it hurts. They can be slippery sometimes.
Are we talking about the gold bar?
Yes, what are you talking about?
Oh, good, good, yes. That's exactly what I was talking about.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And can you tell me, do you have a special hoarding secret?
Well, I'm not a hoarder myself.
Do you know any hoarders?
Do I know? I do know this one hoarder who lives on the other side of town that I occasionally drive out to see. And let me tell you, this individual is not in a really good mental space, like I said, like I was describing earlier. Basically, it's like a building. They own a building like the Ghostbusters building in that movie. It's like a dilapidated firehouse. And it's filled floor to ceiling with bowls on one floor.
Bowls?
Bowls, yeah. And ceramics, ceramic and knickknacks, you know, that sort of thing. So he got bowls and ceramics. It's like you walk into like a, I don't know, some sort of Chinese overstock warehouse when you walk into that
place. Are you sure it's not a store that you're walking into? Like you cannot
purchase these bowls? Definitely not a store. This is a private residence. And then you move up to the second floor, and there's a cashier, and all these sorts of like bed sheets, still in their packaging, like floor to ceiling bed sheets. And mattresses just piled up high.
Are they used mattresses or new mattresses?
It's a mixture of new and slightly used mattresses.
And do they sell these mattresses, or?
I don't know. I don't think they do. I don't think this individual does, unless they're running an illegal store out of there. But I don't think it's a store. I never see anybody in and out of there or any evidence that any of this stock is moving. It's just sitting there.
You just said, though, that they were your friend and that you go inside their house. And yet now you're saying that you don't know what's going on. I don't quite understand.
Oh, yeah, I visit them regularly, but I don't. There's no evidence that any of this stuff is disappearing, you know, that you were asking me if it was a store, and
yes,
it's definitely not
yes.
a store, and they're not selling stuff unless they are and they're not telling me, you know, but also I don't see any evidence that the stuff is selling, if they are selling it, you know. I just go over to chat and have a cup of tea and, you know, look around at my crazy friend's place and just, like, be amazed at, like, how crammed it is.
Do they sleep on the mattresses that they have with the bed sheets?
It's actually, the funny thing is, they live in this place, but they actually can't sleep in there. This individual, like, goes to sleep on other people's houses. He couch surfaces when he can.
I see.
But when he cannot, then he often just goes into other people's houses and sleeps wherever the first surface that he sees, be it a chair or be it some sort of sofa or even the floor.
And these people don't even know that he's sleeping there?
No.
So
he's never gotten caught, so knock on wood for him.
Yeah. Does he leave before the people wake up? And
yes, usually. He has a really good biological clock that he sets to go off at 5:45. And so he is out of there by 5:45. And most people aren't up by then unless they're insane, you know, or insane farmers.
Yes, yes, yes. Because, you know, farmers, they wake up at, like, when the cock-a-doodle-doo crows, when the sun comes up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at what time does he usually go to bed, though? Like, because I don't know when people go to bed.
He is one of those rare individuals that just does not need a full night's sleep. I've heard that ex-president Bill Clinton is like that also. He can run on 3 to 4 hours of sleep. Personally, I need a good 7 or 8 hours myself.
Yes.
But, friend, this individual can run on 2 and 3 hours of sleep, and he is as sharp as a tack all day long.
That's amazing. Does he have little cat naps?
If he does, he does not tell me about it. He's a very secretive fellow, if you haven't figured
this out by now.
Yeah, very secretive.
That's
but hoarders are like that. It's like they're living a double life, you know. They're hoarding stuff, and they often don't tell a lot of people about their hoarding proclivities because they're afraid that they'll be judged.
Yes, and a lot of them, they don't even realize that they're hoarding or hoarders.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. And you can,
Well, Yossi, this has been a fascinating discussion, and I'm sorry I have to cut it short, but this is just really, really intellectually stimulating in a way that I don't get in other parts of my day, and I really appreciate your radio show.
Thank you so much, caller. I'm so glad that you called and shared with us your horror experience.
Yes, yeah, thank you. And I think more people need to talk about moving and staying put.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Thank you.
All right, well, have a good day there, Yafe.
Yes, yes. Marapan.
Marapan to you.
Yes. Interesting. What is this hoarding and what is simplicity? And how can we arrive? And why do we have to move? Why cannot we stay put? And how, if you're a hoarder, how do we get organized? I think that's one of the major problems that a lot of hoarders have, is they hoard, but they don't know where to put all this stuff. I think if they, got organized, let's say, like, you put all your, Pez dispensers over here in this room, and maybe you put all your toilet brushes in this other room. Maybe it could be a better place. Just like the previous caller, you notice how they put all their ceramic bowls on one floor and all their beds and bed sheets on another. That is some really organizing hoarding going on. Let us listen to Misorganized. Or let us take this call. Hello, caller.
Hello, Yossi. How are you today?
I'm good, caller. How are you?
I'm doing great, Yossi. Thank you so much.
Yes. Are you or someone you love experiencing hoarding or moving into a new location?
Oh, yes, I am, actually. But listen, I'd like to share some advice with you about moving.
Yes, please share it with everybody. We all need to know.
I feel that moving is very similar to receiving a high colonic.
Yes. How is that, caller? Are you talking about the drink?
No, Yossi. Colonic is when you get a very strong hose and it's squirted up your asshole.
Yes.
And out of that come all of that stuff that you just can't push out when you're sitting on the toilet.
Yes, it's very good to get rid of all that shit if I may say so.
Exactly, Yassi. Yes. And so when you move, I like to pretend that I'm doing the similar thing to it, and I clean everything out of me.
Yes. It feels really good after to clean all that shit out of you. Doesn't it?
I have someone who wants to talk to you.
Yes. Understand this language we are speaking, but this is an old last language. I am so glad that there is someone out there still studying the essence of one of the very first languages created by man. Thank you, little caller. They were just saying how they... What? Yes. Bye-bye. For all of you out there, this caller was telling me their moving experience. Yes, bye-bye. Kai-kai-ka.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Yashi.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Kaka.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. You. And I am waiting to move. They are moving me into another cell because they're going to be doing some remodeling. That is why it's very important to get rid of the cult clutters and organize and come to a realization if you are a hoarder or not. Again, I admit I have been hoarding some gold bars and I don't know what to do with them. I don't know if I should hide them somewhere else or give them, leave them on the curb. It's very hard. I just seem to accumulate all this gold and gold bars. And a lot of people think it's lucky, but I try so hard. I shower with them. I wish they were like soap and would just dissolve away down the drain, but they don't. I wish they were like plastic and absorbed into my skin and pores. Maybe it is, and I'm just attracting more gold. I have reached a fifth dimension, and it's all golden. And once you reach it, there is no going back. I want to thank you. Thank you for sharing with me your horror experiences. And I apologize for all those calls I could not get to. But you can call me again. And I await our time together again. I wish you very much luck on your moves and on your horror experiences. And may you be golden. Always. You have been listening to Say Something with Yossi Kuti. I am Yossi Kuti. I'm signing off. Moving on up, I finally found the piece of the pie.
If you see something, say something.